As a background, you should know that sugarcane cultivars differ in the rate and duration of dry matter and sugar accumulation in the internodes, which is where the sugar is stored in sugarcane. The balance between growth and storage in those internodes is partly determines both cane yield and sucrose content. And sugar yield, which is of course what growers in the industry are interested in, is the product of cane yield and sucrose content. But how the plant controls the balance between growth and storage is poorly understood. Rapidly growing internodes, which are the three internodes at the very top of the plant, have very high activities of soluble acid invertase. And those internodes contain little sucrose. If growth slows, then the soluble acid invertase activity declines, and sucrose concentration in the rest of the plant increases. And this is also considered desirable at the end of the season prior to harvest. So this experiment was designed to test two hypotheses. First, that competition by elongating internodes influences the rate of dry matter and sugar accumulation in fully elongated internodes. And second, that competition is mediated by soluble acid invertase in the elongating internode. To do this, we selected a population that consisted of a sugar cultivar, HOCP00950. This is a relatively new cultivar and is very high in sugar. And seven F1 hybrids of that variety with a wild Saccharum spontaneum type from Thailand. Now, the MPTH 97216, it is very tall and has high fiber, but it does not have much sugar. And so we were hoping to get a range of growth characteristics out of the hybrids. These were planted in November of 2006 near Houma, Louisiana. The plots were single row plots. They were 4.9 meters long and 1.8 meters apart. The experiment was planted as a randomized complete block with four replications. It was fertilized as is typical with 112 kilograms of nitrogen, 15 kilograms of phosphorus, and 55 kilograms of potassium in the spring of every year. The sampling was done on first ratoon growth. If you don't know sugarcane, if you cut it back to the soil, it will regrow in what's called a ratoon. And this might happen, depending on your location, two or three or even more times before the crop is ripped up and replanted. On the 7th of July of 2008, we flagged 20 plants per plot and then marked the leaf with the topmost visible color on that date by punching a small hole, actually we used two holes, in it with a hole punch. And then the next day, starting the next day, we removed one flagged stalk per plot to the laboratory. We then sampled the internode that was subtending the marked leaf, and this will be referred to later as the marked internode. The tissue was divided in half. One part was frozen at minus 80, which was later used to be used for enzymes, and one part was frozen at minus 20 and then later freeze-dried to determine dry weight and sugars. We sampled again at 1 to 2 week intervals. In subsequent weeks, what we did was we sampled both that marked internode and then also the elongating internodes, which we combined. We defined those as the top three internodes, and that material was all combined into one sample. The enzyme we looked at was soluble acid invertase. We also looked at cell wall acid invertase, which I am not reporting on today. It was extracted in buffer acid at pH 5 at 37 degrees, and we determined glucose and fructose colorimetrically. For sugars, they were extracted from the freeze-dried tissue with 80% aqueous ethanol, and we determined glucose, fructose, and sucrose by HPIC with pulsed amperometric detection. Okay, the next couple of slides are for the whole stocks. This one shows you the stock internode number. And you can see there's some range, of course, in the hybrids, but generally and on average, the hybrids had more internodes than the cultivar. I should say here that we measured heat units were calculated using an 18 degree base temperature. For the stocks, the zero time was the date of the last frost in the spring. This should actually read stock height, not internode height. The stock height, the hybrids were all much taller than the cultivar. Now, this really is internode length. The next series of slides shows the changes within the marked internode as it developed. In this case, the heat units, again using 18 degrees as the base temperature, was calculated from the July 8th sampling date. The internode itself, the hybrids elongated much quicker into to a higher length than the cultivar, but there didn't seem to be much difference between the time when the growth actually started to slow between the cultivar and the hybrids. The dry weight, the cultivar, this is pretty typical, and I should also say that unfortunately this experiment terminated prematurely because of a hurricane. One of the problems with doing experiments in Louisiana. So you would normally expect the dry weight curve and to kind of continue up a little ways and start curling over. Just as it basically has done here in the hybrids. And you can see that the hybrids, the dry weight, basically reached pretty much of a maximum quite early, about 118 degree days, whereas it was still rising quite rapidly. It was probably still in the logarithmic phase of dry weight accumulation for the cultivar. Water content was also quite different. You can see that the cultivar water content didn't start to decrease until quite late, and then it started to fall. But in the hybrids, it decreased very rapidly. And I have shown in previous studies that the sucrose content or the sugar content is highly related to this, and it seems to be greater in tissues that hold on to their water than in tissues that get less water over time. Total sugar content pretty well mimicked the dry weight. So you see an initial increase, and it seemed to plateau a bit here. It may have started up again at between 280 and 400 days after our degree C days in the hybrids. In the cultivar, there's initial rapid increase, and this is when the internode seems to be finishing elongation. And once it finishes elongation, the sugars started to take off again. And again, in a normal year, you would expect that this would go up a little bit more and start and taper off. So then we looked at an invertase in the, now this is in the elongating internodes, not the other one was, the other slides were in the marked internodes. This is just the elongating internodes. And you can see that if it weren't for these two varietal means, that there would be very little difference between the cultivar and the hybrids in the soluble acid invertase in the elongating internodes. And so I did some correlations. Now these correlations show this is values in the marked internode. I correlated it with soluble acid invertase on a fresh weight, internode, or milligram protein basis, and then the difference in acid invertase activity between the elongating and the marked internode on a fresh weight, internode, and protein basis. And basically, dry weight was not correlated, sugar on a fresh weight basis was not correlated, sugar on a dry weight basis was very weakly correlated. It was significant, but it's not very big correlation between sugar per dry weight and the soluble acid invertase on a fresh weight basis, and a fairly weak, although significant, negative correlation between the difference in activity between the elongating internode and marked internode and the sugar and the dry weight. And other than that, there were no correlations. So my conclusions are that cultivars and the hybrids are different. The hybrids are taller, they have more internodes, and the hybrids have longer internodes. But the cultivar accumulates more dry weight and sugar in the internodes. The water content declines faster in the hybrids. And that soluble acid invertase does not appear to be different between cultivars and the hybrids. So my conclusions for the study are, first of all, the first hypothesis was that competition by elongating internodes influences the rate of dry matter and sugar accumulation in the fully elongated internodes. And this was not supported. And secondly, that competition is mediated by soluble acid invertase in the elongating internode. And this is also not supported. Thank you. Questions? Yes.
The diameter of the diameter of the stem of the shoot is different between the hybrid and the cultivar.
The question was: is the diameter of the stock in the hybrids the same as the diameter of this cultivar? No. The stalks of the hybrids were very much smaller. Any other questions?
Did you take how the, like, even the diameter may be different, but the whole stalk weight, are they just almost similar?
The question was whether this whole stalk weight was different.
The stalk weight, you have it.
And we did not measure that. In one of the years we did the study, plots were harvested, but I haven't I don't remember what those results were. And of course, the whole plot is going to number, one of the things that these hybrids were, one of the ways that they were different from the cultivars is they had many more stalks per, in sugarcane they're called shools, and per plant basically, and so the whole plot had many more stalks.
Yeah, how much time you can get from each plot, like total weight.
How many tons were?
Yeah, the total weight you send to the mill, right? Sugar.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Yes.
For the interlobe length, you get like the. From bottom to top, you get the average, or you specifically concentrate the one node in the mid of the stalk.
We concentrated on one node, the marked internode. It was the one that started out at the top in July, so I was taking that as It's what's known as grand growth in sugarcane. Because the ones at the bottom will sometimes be very short, and then you get ones that are really long for some reason, and then they kind of settle down. And so to stay away from those dynamics, we picked one. On a specific date, it was the one that was subtending the leaf with the topmost visible dewlap. Yeah, so it's just starting to elongate when I marked it, and that's the one we followed.
Okay.